Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's Word. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I will tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Oh, Father, by your work in us, through your Spirit, that we will see through your word what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless this time that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only hear, but understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as I start every sermon, I say to you that our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God in the book of Luke. And because that's what he's doing, so that through his works and teachings, the reality of heaven is being witnessed. And the part of that reality of heaven that is being witnessed is the reality of the citizens of that kingdom. Through our passage today, we see that the citizens of the kingdom of God are those who do not lose their heart and at all times pray to God. They seek Jesus Christ and they look forward to seeing the kingdom of God being visibly consummated. Jesus has taught us many times in the book of Luke, the citizens of heaven will suffer in this world. In chapter 17, Jesus has told us that the lives of the believers who are longing for the return of Jesus Christ are not that easy. They're not easy lives. Chapter 17, verse 25, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And the Bible tells us that the church will join this suffering and rejection of Jesus Christ. The days of Jesus Christ will be just like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The world will oppose Jesus Christ and his teachings. Thus, us, they will reject us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day and day by their lawless deeds. Clearly says, the believers will suffer not only physically, but as you look out in the world and see how these sinful people live and what they say, our righteous soul is tormented by they living this life of sin. And their sinfulness is their pride these days. They even call it, they even use the word pride, even though it's sin against God. For us, living in this world, that flat out sin against God without any repentance, the life in this world itself is suffering for us. Especially these days. You cannot say what God says. You hear everywhere. One guy makes a speech that has, when I hear it, nothing wrong with it, and yet the whole world just goes berserk. They want to cancel him. Life of Christians is suffering. Unless they don't know that you are Christian, because you never says anything. You never say anything about you being Christian, or say anything that God has said in the Bible, because you don't want to, you know, hassle with it. All the consequences that comes because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But what is worse, even as we live in this sinful world, what is worse is that even as we say these things, we too sin against God. And that pains us. So many times, following Jesus Christ in this world means the laws of many things of this world. And sometimes it means to lose even our lives. Thus, Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 33, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Then Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 22, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. There is so much suffering, and those suffering prolongs in our lives, and Jesus' return is delayed, and it seems God does not answer our prayers. Thus, it is so easy for us to lose heart, so easy for us to just give up. And God gives today's parable to people like us. It shows us who we are and what kind of life we live. It shows us what kind of blessings of heaven God gives to us. Now let me ask a question. Why do the sinners leave Jesus Christ and forsake him? Why? John 6, verse 60 and 66. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Literally, this is an offensive statement. Who can listen to it? Verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. By the sinners, they leave. Well, they cannot accept the Word of God. It is offensive to them. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The Bible clearly says the love of money will cause them to forsake Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verse 16b through 19, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. These are the ones who have heard the word, But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful, and they leave. When afflictions or persecutions arises because of the word, they fall away. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, they choke the word that you hear. But Jesus today, through our passage, shows the opposite. His people who pray always and never give up, they preserve, they persevere. I said it again. They persevere to the end. So let's go to the parable. Verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Thus, when we understand this parable correctly, Jesus says, we will know and believe that we are to pray always and not to lose heart. And by this, our Lord suggests that there will be a long period between his first coming and his second coming. That is why he commands for us to pray always and never give up, because it is so easy to give up as his return is delayed. Now, it's not delayed in a sense that he wanted to come earlier, but somehow it got delayed, but that was his plan from the beginning. Verse 2-5. Saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him and saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Now you see two people. One is judge, the other is a widow. And this judge, it says, does not fear God and does not respect man. In Matthew 22, our Lord Jesus Christ summarizes the whole law of God. And you know this. It is to love God and it is to love your neighbor. And this judge does not fear God nor does respect man. So this judge is the worst, very evil person. Flat out, go against every law of God. And the other person we see in the parable, a widow. And as you know, at the time of Jesus, widows, they were so powerless and so hopeless. She goes to the judge and says, give me legal protection from my opponent. And the parable tells us that for a while, the judge was unwilling to hear her. But she kept going to the judge. And one day, the judge do what she says. And the reason, the parable tells us in verse 5, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. So judge is not concerned at all about the widow. Judge only knows himself and cares for himself only. And our passage ends with verse 6-8. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay over long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If we understand the conclusion of this parable correctly, then we could see that the widow points to the people of God who lives in this fallen world. So she is the symbol of God's people who are living in this fallen world. The elect of God who lives in this world in between Jesus' first and second coming. How do they live? Verse 7. Cry out to God day and night. This is how we live. We cry out to God day and night. Now the judge is not directly pointing to God, but he is used as a comparison to God. What the parable is saying is like this. If the evil judge hears the widow, then how much more God will hear his beloved chosen people who cry out to him day and night? That's the point. Verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Meaning, will God delay a long time in answering their cry? And Jesus answers this question in verse 8. I tell you that he, God, will bring about justice for them quickly. Or it should be translated as a soon. Soon. But we have to understand this in terms of God's perspective. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So even though, yes, it has been 2,000 years, but we should not understand that as God is just slow in answering our prayers. It only has been 2 days in his perspective. So when he said, I'm coming quickly, he didn't lie to us. It's just, he's just saying that in his perspective. You know, this kind of verse, we find so many in the Bible. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Soon. But you might say, oh, it's been over 2,000 years. Revelation 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. And yet you might say, oh, but it has been 2,000 years. Revelation 22, verse 28. He who testifies to these things says, Jesus says, yes, I am coming quickly. And you might say, oh, but it's been more than 2,000 years. Is God lying to us in all these verses? No. God will bring justice for his elect very soon. But Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faith. The opposite of losing heart of verse 1. You're being so tired of sufferings and that would cause you to lose any hope. Jesus already told us that his days will be just like the days of Noah and days of Lot. During Noah's flood, only 8 people were saved. And during Lot's days, again, very small number were saved. Will he find faith on the earth? Oh, there are so many people who say they believe in Christ. But Bible, in this Luke chapter 18, Luke talks about certain kinds of faith, the genuine faith. Will he find it in you if he comes today? Will he find the people like this widow never giving up and always praying for Jesus' return? Implied answer is not many people will have that kind of faith when he returns. But see, this saying is also a command to the believers to never give up and always praying. And if you are true believers, you should take this as a command, his command to always trust in God and praying to him and never give up. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36, be on guard so that your heart will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We are called to wait for his day and always pray. You know, we see so many Christians, and I talk about this in the Korean worship too. You've been to, I don't know, you young people, maybe this is the only church you come out. You've never been to any other church, but if you go and listen to Christians' prayers, do you ever hear them praying for Jesus to come quickly? Well, will he find this kind of faith? The faith that will make you long for his return. Will he find it in you? Because this is what God is doing in our lives. God works in us so that we would do this. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God will cause you to look for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you feel? That word is so... Do you believe that God is working because you know that you are longing for his return? That just shows that God is working in you. Will he find this kind of faith when he comes in this church? And that's my prayer, that he will find it in every one of you. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The parable that we are looking at today, is it teaching us Is it teaching us that as long as we persistently pray, then God will do whatever we ask? Is that what our parable is teaching? And that's what some teaching will tell you. Just keep on praying. Reason that you don't have is that you're not persistent enough. That kind of teaching is treating God like this evil judge. What, God will hear you because he's just sick of you because you've been praying so much? That you bother him? You bother him so much. So, I don't want her to pray this again. I heard this so many times. Okay, I do it for you. You think God is like that? No. We already know the answer, and we did study a lot concerning prayer. When we study the Lord's Prayer, we cannot just ignore those other verses that we already learned when we are studying this parable. You and I, we must pray according to God's will. I said this. Whatever that you pray, you think that when Jesus is listening, will he say amen? Meaning he agrees with you. But if you know that God does not like what you're praying, then why would you pray? We pray that his will be done. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, but you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. It's clearly said there. And we must never forget Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give you us all things? I mean, if he's willing to give his own son, why would he withhold anything from you? When it comes to the things that he does not give us, whatever that you're asking that he's not giving to you, all those things, I guarantee, all those things are worldly things. They're worldly things. And God is not giving those things to us because they are not good for us. I give you this example so many times, right? The kid gives, give me candy, but you don't give him. It's not because you don't love him. You don't give that baby candy because it's not good for the baby. Baby doesn't know it's not good for them. Yeah, I thought about this a lot, long time ago. Man, if I have a lot of money, I mean, you don't like me now, man, but if I have a lot of money, you will not like me. I'd be so arrogant, thinking that I'm somebody when I'm not. And we have to understand Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So everything that happens in my life, why would God cause it to happen if it's not good for me? I trust God that much. I know It's happening because it's His best. Because if it is not His best, He will not let it happen. Because He loves me. I get this. I get this little bit when I look at my own children. Why would I ever wish that something would happen to them that I know is not good for them? Why? But God is much better than I am. He's perfect God. So why would He allow anything that would happen that is not good for me? And when we say, you know, good, we're not talking about worldly success. We're not talking about worldly health. No, we're talking about His purpose. For that purpose to be accomplished, nothing bad will happen to me. Because everything will happen so that that purpose that God has for me will be accomplished. And He makes sure of it. This is how we live. We give Him. I mean, if you cannot trust God like that, oh man, that is a pretty sad life. Then whom can you trust then if you cannot trust God? Just praise Him. He will do His will, whether you like it or not. But you will like it if you truly understand what He's doing. When it comes to the heavenly things, God gave us everything. What did He withhold from you? Or what does He withholding from you right now? When it comes to heavenly things, He gave you all. First, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And I believe this. I have everything. But, and yet, we must pray, especially for His return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, pray without ceasing. And this is God's will for us in Jesus Christ. Now, we'll come to the end of the sermon, and yet this one end is not that short. Romans 8, 28 again. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And this reality will be visibly consummated at His second coming. As soon as you see Him coming, you will realize, wow, everything indeed has worked together for my own good. You will know. When will all our biblical prayer, if you are praying according to Bible, when all those things, when will be accomplished visibly? Well, at His second coming. Thus, ultimately, all our biblical prayer are praying for His second coming. Because only then, all our desires will be visibly consummated. Thus, all our prayers in summary are what? This one sentence. Come, Lord, quickly. That's what you're praying for. We learned this when we studied the Lord's Prayer. Go home and read each petition that you say in the Lord's Prayer. All those things will be visibly consummated when Jesus comes. So if you are asking God to do all these things and visibly, clearly accomplished then you are praying for His coming because only then all these things will be visibly consummated. All justice for all justice for all of us, and all our biblical desires, all solutions to all our problems, all of it will be visibly consummated at His second coming. Unless you're praying for worldly things. I told you already. You go home and start reading the New Testament. Not Old Testament. That's a different era. But New Testament. What's the difference? Well, Jesus came. That's the big difference. You start reading from New Testament and find me a verse. Find me a prayer that is asking worldly things. Except when we say, give us our daily bread. But daily bread, what is that? The bread you need to live that day. Daily bread. Nobody will accuse you of seeking the world when you just want daily bread. Nobody will do that. Other than that petition, find me a verse in the Bible that is asking for the worldly things. And some of you are in shock. How can they be true? Well, prove me wrong. Please. Brothers and sisters, this is why Bible ends with that prayer, come Lord, quickly. That's the end of the Bible. Because when He comes, everything is now perfect. There's no worry, there's no concern, there's no complaint, there's no fear. Everything will be perfect. And Bible teaches us to be like this. And yet, today, even in the church, if I say this kind of stuff, people, Christians, will hear it and go, that's too much. That I'm so heavenly minded, I'm just earthly no good at all. Is that how you think? It could be it. But what does the Bible teach? Second Peter chapter 3 verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. But we must never forget that Jesus has solved all our problems spiritually at His first coming. Thus, in one respect, one aspect, we have no longer any problem. And this is my faith. I have no problem whatsoever. Yeah, I'm still a sinful person, so sometimes I act like I don't believe what I'm saying, and many times that's true. But what I believe is this, that I have no more problem. And whatever that I think I have, these problems that in my life, I have to believe that that has been solved. And I know that is true because if I die right now, as soon as I die, I go to heaven and I realize, whoa, all my problems are really solved. I don't have any problems. This is my faith. So I live as if I have no problem. Because in one sense, it is true. And that's my faith. Of Go think about this very carefully because you're not going to hear this very often out there. But what kind of faith does God talking about when he says, will I find faith in this earth? Brothers and sisters, we must believe, even as we tackle all our problems every day, we must believe it is already solved, in one sense. We do not know when Jesus is coming back, thus we pray always for his return. And in heaven, our Lord is always praying for us. So we must participate in his life of continuous prayer. Brothers and sisters, are there any grudges in your life that you feel like you need to take care of before anything? Romans chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh yes, God will come and render justice very soon. So we are to pray. Luke chapter 22, verse 46. Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. Will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? Jesus said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. And this is our heavenly reality that has been already accomplished. Now let me end this sermon with this. My question to you is this. This reality of you crying out to God and God will answer. God will hear your prayer. And he will avenge your whatever grudges you might have. How then? This reality of God hearing our prayers, how did this reality been accomplished? And you already know, on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out unto God. Just like how we cry to God day and night, Jesus on the cross cried out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, we sometimes pray like that. We feel like God is just forsaken us, that he reject us. But when Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the last complaint of Christianity. There should be no more complaint after that, because Jesus died and he was resurrected. And he accomplished our heavenly reality. And how did our heavenly reality accomplished? Jesus, because he was bearing our sins on the cross, even though he was crying out to God the Father ignores his son's cry. He doesn't come down from heaven to avenge his enemies. No, he just watches his son dying. He ignores him completely because he was bearing our sins. He forsakes his son. Psalm 22, verse 1 through 2 and verse 6 through 8. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of man, and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lips. They wag their heads, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. This is how they mock Jesus Christ. Because he cried out to God, and God was silent. You know, at that moment, when he cried out to God, if that moment when Father comes down and just destroys all of his enemies, everybody will bow down to Jesus. But he cried out to God, and God did not hear him. God rejected him. So people are mocking him. Well, call your God. Let him save you. But God was silent because Jesus was bearing our sins. But brothers and sisters in Christ, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, now in Christ, God will never forsake us. He will never forsake us. And he will hear our prayers. At the time of Jesus dying on the cross, the world mocked him. And the world still mocks us. They will even say things like, well, you believe in Christ, and look at what is happening to your life. If God is so good and he's just so wonderful, well, why are you like this? Well, cry unto your God. Let him help you. But see, that is not our God's purpose for us. The world, just as they mock Jesus Christ, they mock us. But one day, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, no one will mock us. They will see how our Lord's salvation for us is so perfect and so glorious. They will see how glorious it will be. No one will be able to mock us on that day. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there will be so many things that will happen in our lives that will make us lose heart, tempt us to give up. So our Lord gave us this parable. We must continue to pray and never lose heart, never giving up, and always with joy wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he comes back today, I pray that he will find faith in Christ and Heaven OPC. This is my prayer for you. You know, you have to know what your pastor is praying for you. This is my prayer. How sad will it be if Jesus comes back today? And he doesn't find faith in us. And we're not just talking about so simple faith that everybody says they have. And in this chapter 18 and chapter 19, God will show us many characters who have this faith. And let's learn it together so that we may have that faith when he comes. And it's not just saying, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and just do whatever you want out there. That's not faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us never give up and always pray. And whatever that happens, it is good for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are such wonderful God. And there's no word that we could use to truly, truly explain or represent who you truly are. And Father, we thank you that without ability to express clearly, perfectly, you give us faith in us that we may know and understand. And even when we cannot explain it, we know that you gave us that faith to believe you, to trust you, to love you, and desire to please you in all things. We thank you, God. But you know that our faith is never perfect. So forgive us our sins. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.